The subject for discussion today is the model church. Upon first thought, one may be inclined to ask, is it possible that a perfect church ever existed? And if so, could a model church be found today? Those are important questions for thought and meditation. In the beginning of man's habitation upon the earth, God made one perfect man and one perfect woman. They were perfect mentally, physically, and spiritually, because the Bible says that God made them in His own image. After having created them, He looked upon them and pronounced them very good. However, in time to come, through the deception of Satan, man and woman sinned against God and fell from their state of perfection. Since the sins of Adam and Eve, it has been a noble aim of mankind, in all rightful thinking, to find their way back to the innocence and purity of Eden. Through all the struggles and efforts of man, with all of his abilities combined, he found it impossible to reach that original state of purity and perfection. God saw that the only hope for man's redemption was to sacrifice his own son upon Calvary, and with Christ's atoning blood, man might be made free from sin through faith and obedience. He might become reconciled unto God. To accomplish this task, Jesus Christ established His church upon the earth, and purposed that through the church might be made known the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose of God, as revealed in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus declared, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church that Jesus established was His church. It belonged to Him. The church of Christ belongs to Christ by right of ownership, for the Lord said, "I will build my church." The divine Son of God was the divine builder of His church. My church, as the Bible says, is Christ's church. Personally, I have no church, and you should have no church. Why be a part of some religious organization of human origin when Christ built His church and it is of divine origin? Why not just be a member of the Lord's church, a way that is so right that it cannot be wrong? The church of Jesus Christ is divine because of its divine origin. Every institution of human origin is a mortal institution. Christ, this divine Son of God, built His church upon a mighty solid rock of divinity, that He is the Christ, the Son of God. The identity of this rock is revealed when Jesus told the Apostle Peter that He would build His church. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," in Matthew 16:16. Jesus replies, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, Jesus declared that He would build His church upon a rock. What was the rock? Without question, the rock was referring to Peter's confession of Christ, or Christ's confession of Peter. Many religionists declare that Peter was the rock because the word Peter means rock or stone. The original Greek language will not permit this interpretation because two different words are used. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter," Petros, "and upon this rock," Petra, "I will build my church." Our Lord definitely did not say that He would build His church upon Peter, Petros. He declared that He would build His church upon the rock, Petra. The rock upon which the church was built was the mighty solid foundation. The glorious fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, which was confessed by Peter. The church of the New Testament, therefore, was not built upon the weakness of mortal men, but upon the strength and divinity of the Sonship of Christ. Therefore, it was a model church in the beginning. It must be observed that the Apostle Paul declared, after the church had been established, that other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Furthermore, we read from the same writer, "Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone," Ephesians 2, verse 20. God, through the prophet, announced, Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Isaiah 28:16. While our Lord was on earth, he applied this prophecy to himself, recorded in Matthew 21:24. Also, the Apostle Peter applied the prophecy to Christ, as you read in Acts 4:11. These facts, beloved, force us to the inevitable conclusion that Christ's church was not built upon Peter as a rock, but upon the glorious and divine truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Lord's church was indeed a model church. The church of Christ was just as certain to be established as Christ was the Son of God. And with absolute certainty, Christ was to be the founder of his church. As the Son of God, he had pledged his life and his blood to establish his church. Death and Hades could not prevail against it. Not only would Hades be unsuccessful in preventing the establishment of the Lord's church, but all the powers of Hades for all time could come would never successfully prevail against the Lord's church or to destroy it. The prophet Daniel declared with reference to the kingdom of Christ that God would set up a kingdom which would never be destroyed. You read that in Daniel 2:44. The gates of death and Hades shall not prevail against the church of Christ. That is certain, and just as certain as Christ is the Son of God. To establish the true identity of the church and distinguish it from denominationalism, it is important that we know the place and the time of the beginning of the church. Someone might presume that this matter is unimportant, but I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it is of great concern to those who are concerned about the New Testament church. What difference does it make about the beginning of the church, one might say? Well, my friends, it makes all the difference. The beginning is a mark of identification. In the second chapter of Acts, we have the record of the establishment of the Lord's church in the city of Jerusalem, which was the beginning. And it was begun under the direction of the apostles who were inspired by the Holy Spirit sent by the Lord. The first church of Christ was under the direction and administration of men who were definitely inspired and guided by the Holy Spirit from God. The church in the beginning, therefore, was perfect in doctrine and practice as authorized by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. This does not mean that all the members of the Jerusalem church were perfect in their conduct of life. There is no absolute perfect man on earth today, in the church or out of the church, and there has not been since our Lord was on earth. Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, was the only perfect person who ever lived upon this earth. John the Apostle declared in 1 John 1:8-10, "And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Yes, man is sinful, but the Son of God, who established his church, was without sin. The Lord's church had a beginning. It is of divine origin. It was the perfect church. All denominations had their beginnings, and all denominations are imperfect churches. Determine the time, the place, and the beginning of Christ's church, and immediately you are able to distinguish between the church of the Lord and that of some religious organization, not the Lord's church. The beginning of the church, and it means the identification of the church. The time, the place, and the circumstances of the beginning of all denominations identify them as such. Now, let us look at the beginning of the membership of this model church, the Church of the Lord, first established in the city of Jerusalem in the year 33 A.D. The 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost constitute the origin of the church when they obeyed the gospel of Christ with sincere conscience and firm decision. When they heard the truth preached by Peter and the other apostles, they did not hesitate to obey the gospel. When Peter commanded them to repent and be baptized unto the remission of their sins, they did not argue the proposition. They did not argue with the apostles. If they had been like some modern men of our day, perhaps like some preachers even, they might have called the inspired apostles in question and made an effort to correct them by telling them that you don't have to obey all of the gospel. Baptism isn't essential to salvation. Furthermore, they might have declared that one should be satisfied with his religion, whether or not he obeys the gospel, and especially if his heart is right. My friends, such presumptions are not in accord with the teaching of the Bible. That is not what the 3,000 did on that day, the day of the beginning of the church. They humbly obeyed the commands of the inspired men of God. They became Christians. They became members of the Lord's church. Although they had been very religious and devout members of the Jewish church many years previous to that time, they obeyed the gospel. Their conscience was pricked with the gospel. They believed in the Christ, the Son of God. They repented of their sins, and they were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. The Bible says that they that gladly received his word were baptized. It was a joy and privilege to obey the commands of the Lord, and they did not dispute the word of the Lord. They were the jewels of the whole generation of Jews, and the ripest fruit of the seed planted by Moses, and nourished and cultivated by the prophets of God. This was the first church of Christ on earth. Remember, Jesus said, "I will build my church." Jesus promised to build his church. Yes, the church that Jesus established in the city of Jerusalem was composed of men and women who heard, believed, and obeyed the gospel of Christ. Peter commanded them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 38 of Acts 2. In verse 47 of Acts 2, it is revealed that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The saved constituted the church. The church was the saved. To be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ was to be a member of the church of Christ. To be a member of the Lord's church was to be saved by the blood of the Lord. They obtained remission of sins, but obtained remission of sin by virtue of the blood of Christ. In Hebrews 9:22, the Bible says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Therefore, when they obtained remission of sins, they did so by virtue of the blood of Christ, and that made them members of the church of Christ. The church was established and soon numbered 5,000 men beside women and children. Almost immediately, there was a membership of 10,000 people. Why? I say, are you listening? Why such rapid growth? The answer is obvious. Would it not be wonderful today if the church were of one heart and one soul, possessing the character and disposition of those of the New Testament church? I tell you, my friends, we could take the world for Christ if the church today were like the Jerusalem church, the original church, the model church. Think of the opportunities that we have, which they did not have. Think about the opportunity through the medium of this International Gospel Hour and the medium that we have through television and the printing press. We are sure that we are reaching hundreds of thousands, possibly millions every week through this instrument of broadcast. Oh, that the world today would recognize the fact that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to save, and those who are saved by the blood of the Lord are they who are added to the church of the Lord. May I ask, where is there a church in any city in the world today with a membership of 10,000 consecrated Christians with zeal and fervent spirit which characterized the Jerusalem church? Where is the church today that multiplies its membership like the model Jerusalem church? We need to go back to the model church, the church of Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem, the church of the Lord. Follow its divine pattern and dispose of all human inventions and innovations in religion. To be acceptable unto God, to be like the model church, we must follow the divine teaching of the New Testament and practice what is revealed in the Bible. Surely there is no one listening to me, regardless of his denominational affiliation, who can truly say he just can't understand and follow the simple divine pattern of the New Testament church, the church that you read about in your Bible. The trouble is, beloved, oftentimes, men do not want to follow the divine pattern. Oftentimes, we prefer our ways and our notions rather than the Lord's way, the way that is taught by the apostles in the Bible. Consequently, you may hear someone say regarding the doctrine and practice of the early church, "Well, I know the Bible says that, but I believe it another way." Many denominational leaders will even admit that they engage in religious practices not taught in the Bible and as practiced by the original church. Oftentimes, men refuse to give up unauthorized practices because it suits them. It is not a matter of pleasing the Lord as much as pleasing self. My friends, are you listening? Too many are concerned about the church as they would have it, and not the model church revealed in the Bible as God would have it. Did you ever hear anybody try to avoid the truth of the New Testament by saying, "Oh well, we just can't understand the Bible alike anyway"? There is one thing certain. This idea does not even relate to the teaching of the New Testament, and certainly does not relate to the model church revealed to us in the New Testament. It is said of the model church in Jerusalem that all the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Did they understand the Word of God alike? Surely they did, my friends. This model church belonged to Christ, and He would not have it any other way. Remember, He said, "I will build my church." The church was directed by Christ. It was founded by Christ. The church was one church. It was a united church.